I would like to, first of all, thank those that prayed for me. That's how God's work's done. It's not through us. It's through Him working through us. This morning, a while back, I got a bit of a burden for the assembly here. Every year goes by, and I realize I'm not going to be with you long. There'll still be some years likely if the Lord doesn't come. But my time's drawing to a close. We're going to study 1 and 2 Timothy. And that was so heavy on Timothy's heart. How have I prepared the church when I'm gone? Will they keep following God's word? And if that's the case, if they're going to, His word will have need to be taught, the whole counsel of God. And it was a burden on my heart just to go back right to the beginning when the church started and step by step say, here is a foundational truth set for the church to keep and build on as they go on into the future, whatever that holds. We don't know. The last message I did chapter 1 and chapter 2. I did not go into Peter's sermon. I would like to go into that. Hopefully get some through there. I think there's a real message for us there. And in this, first of all, we find out the first foundation is wait till you're endued with power on high. The believers were not to go out and to do the Lord's work on their own strength. And then time went on, and God made it clear when it was time for the church to move forward. He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, there were a number of signs, and it came on them all, and they all witnessed. We miss that sometimes. It was not just Peter. It says they all did. And they all heard them speaking in their own language. And then Peter stands up when Satan attacks and says, oh, this is, you better get out of here. This is no good. Peter stands up and gives a defense, which I didn't do. But I will look into that, message he gives this morning. But then the next foundation stone was they were empowered by the Spirit, moving with the Spirit's power according to God's word and obedience to God's word. The Holy Spirit moved. Many turned to the Lord. And then the next foundation thing is there were 8 things these believers did. And they're with us today. And if we don't have these things, we're out of God's will. The first thing is they received God's word. They believed it. Then they were baptized. And they continued to hunger for God's word and learn about God's word. They joined themselves to a group of believers, the believers. They broke bread with the believers. They gathered to pray with the believers. They loved and cared for each other. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. These are foundational truths. And we need to teach them. Believers need to understand this is God's will for my life. And then we come to chapter 3. And there's a number of other foundational truths stick their head up here. I got Jack to read that portion about the healing of the blind man. They were going up, Peter and John were going up to the temple, and they saw this blind man, and they realized God wants them to heal him, and they did. And as this guy hit the ceiling, if you want to say it, he was so overjoyed he could walk. He was born lame. Did I say blind? He's lame. He was born lame. And now he was jumping and shouting for joy. And it is just what the Lord needed. Thousands of people gathered around in the temple. And Peter starts to speak. He uses this, and I'm just going to go through his sermon here, kind of verse by verse. We'll read verse 12 and 13. Let's notice some of the foundational things that Peter gives here for us as believers that we need to give to the world. This message doesn't change. And it says in verse 12 and 13, and Peter saw it, that's the people coming all around him. He answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus. I know of quite a few churches that were flourishing when I was young, and they taught Jesus. They taught the substitutional work of Jesus. But in the meantime, they quit and the doors are closed. Jesus, in our message, is an absolute must. There is no power in our messages without it. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is a foundational thing for as we witness and move among men. And then he goes on in the next verse, and he says, verse 14, but ye have denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. The world has a sin nature like we did. Jesus is the answer. God raised him up and glorified his name. And there is the sin problem. And then in verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. They had rejected him. And here we come to the fact that people are going to reject him or accept him. We have to realize that. And I'll say a little more about that later. But here, they had killed. This message is somewhat different than maybe our message would be when we witness, because these people had just killed the Prince of Life and desired a murderer to be granted to them. And then the next thing in verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Again, notice Jesus. He brings Jesus in again as the answer. And notice that through this whole passage, how often the Lord Jesus is brought in. And then he is the power to help us in our need. Verse 17 to 18, we have, and now, brethren, I wot that ye, that though through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But these things which God before had shewed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. This is according to God's word, that Christ would come and that he would suffer. I think it's an important thing as we talk to people today. We're spoiled. We're spoiled. When we have just a little bit of a problem, we think it's big. All around, and I know in other countries, hearing about people's problems is way beyond us. But here, Christ suffered. He knows what suffering is. He identified with it, with the human race. And that's important, to let people know Christ isn't just sitting up there and enjoying an easy life and happy. He suffered. He knows what suffering is. He knows what we're going through. And he came according to God's word. God's word is faithful in the past. Thousands of years ago, it was written, and it's faithful. And just as God is faithful to his word, we can trust it for the future. And then in verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Here he brings in, I think there's something missing today in a lot of gospel preaching. A person has to make a decision. I am either going to call out to the Lord to save me. I agree with him. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm not fit for God. And I'm going to call out to him to save me with my whole heart. Or else, nope, I'm not going to. I don't want that. I'll wait till it's convenient. Or whatever the excuse might be, a decision has to be made. And that decision decides an immense thing, eternity, a forever in the state which you chose, either without God or with God, paying for your sin or being forgiven. There needs to be a decision by people. And then let's go on to verse 20 and 21. And he shall send Jesus, again Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The world is not going to go on forever. That's another thing we need, a foundational thing we need to let people know. An end is coming. Opportunity is here today, but it could be gone tomorrow. Death could flick you out of life into eternity. The Lord Jesus could come back. It says he'll come back to the air and we'll meet him in the air. And the opportunity's gone. That is something people need to know as well, a foundational truth. Then 21 to 25. He tells again how the prophets said that the Messiah would come and that all kindreds of the earth will be blessed. Oh, the grace of God. I marvel at God's greatness in every way. And this is one in his love. He made salvation for all. What a heart of love. There's nothing like it anywhere else in the world. You can go and preach the gospel to whoever you want. God has included him. Wonder of wonders. And then in verse 26, unto you first, God, having raised up, again the Lord Jesus, having raised up his son Jesus, send him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. With that, I just want to point back to repentance. Repentance is a complete change of mind. It's really saying, God, you're right, I'm wrong, and I follow your advice. And here, what happens to the person who truly accepts the Lord Jesus? His life changes because God, Almighty God, dwells in it. It does not maybe go fast, but little by little, it'll become more like Christ. I just want to stop here and challenge us. I say us, because I need encouragement in this too. Challenge us as an assembly as we go into this new year. We watched a DVD lately, Viola and I, of Wilford Force. anyway, the name's gone. He was against a slave trade in England, and with John Newton, I think it was, after a long battle, freed slavery out of all of the British Commonwealth. It was a battle. He was standing alone pretty well. I learned a big lesson here, and we need to learn it. And as he struggled on, he lost friends when it looked hopeless. Then one day, one of his closest friends came to him and said, you know what's happening in the States with the same thing? Revolution. And I think it's time we have a revolution about this. This is going around in circles. We take it to the government, it's voted down, and we're getting nowhere. I think we should have a revolution. Wilberforce looked at him and said, don't you ever mention revolution to me again. He lost him as a friend for a while. Wilberforce went at it totally different. You know, it's great to have a government that honors God's word. I believe the country is blessed for it, but it's not the answer. Wilbur realized that. What Wilbur did, he took God's word, and with it, he went and made it known to the people, this is wrong according to God's word. It's wrong to humanity. And he changed the people's hearts. We have the message here to change our nation. The government won't do it. When they had the vote, when it went over after Wilbert had gone into history and changed the people's hearts in the hall, the Senate, they had the vote. 6 voted for it, and 216 voted for to abolish slavery, and 6 voted for slavery. And then one man got up, and this is what got me onto this. One man got up and said these words. Napoleon conquered his countries by war, and war haunted his kingdom. Wilbert conquered this through changing the people's hearts, and there's peace. We have God's word. The people need the gospel. I know I've gotten weak in this too. We need to give these foundational truths to the people we meet. I had the joy of seeing 2 people taking a Bible just not too long ago because we had the courage to open our mouth. Lives can be changed here. Countries are changed in a peaceful way that lasts. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you. If you know the Lord, would you pray this year? Give me, Lord. Use me to bring one soul to Jesus. They're all around us. Broken homes, broken lives. Give me one soul, Lord Jesus. Use me to lead to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here. You have never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You can today. You can know God's peace. Peace with Him and His peace with you as you go through life. You can know the hope that He comes back. In the twinkling of an eye, you'll be changed and be with Him. Oh, we have a great job to do this year if God leaves us. Another foundational stone, one of the main ones there is Jesus. And this comes up in chapter 4. And I'm going to just refer quickly to this. I had hoped I'd get into chapter 4 because this is another very foundational stone. If the church is pleasing to the Lord and going ahead as a faithful, successful army, Satan's going to attack. And that's what happened here. The rulers were not happy because after this sermon, another 5,000 got saved. Now there was at least 8,000 in the church. And they were going to have to stop this. And they got the apostles and this lame man and discussing it. And finally they couldn't say anything bad about it. And here's Satan's attack. It happens over and over again in the book of Acts. And this is what it is. We don't want you to speak and teach about the name of Jesus and His resurrection anymore. You can go and heal people if you want to. You can go and encourage them to live good if you want to. But don't teach about the name of the Lord Jesus and His resurrection. Stop that, or we'll have a dealing with you. Satan attacks that. It's the offense of the cross. And you can talk to all kinds of religious people and have a great, peaceful conversation, but you come and say, Jesus is the only way. And you've got, oh, how do you know you're right? Well, what were they going to do? Here we have another foundational thing. They were threatened to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. They got together with their own people and prayed. Foundational stone. We need to get together as an assembly and pray if we want to see God working. And that prayer is quite something. It starts in verse 24. And first of all, because of time, I'm just going to go by my notes here to go quickly through it, to let you see the foundational things they prayed about here. First of all, who he was. Thou hast made the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. They acknowledged who God was, his greatness. They acknowledged man's sinfulness in verse 25, how they nailed Christ to the cross in a rage. And then in verse 25 to 28 is the man's sinfulness. In verse 28, that God's eternal plan, even with these threats, is not undone. God is right on course, and he'll stay on course. And verse 29 to 39, Peter presents the gospel, and he presents Jesus Christ again and lays the sin on them and what they have done. And then we have an interesting thing happen. The place is shaken, and they are filled with the Spirit. They spake. The other thing I just want to quick point out. You know, they didn't go to the Lord Jesus or God and say, hey, things are getting a bit tough. Do you want us to stop talking about Jesus? They didn't do that. They had gotten it from Jesus' own mouth. That's what they were supposed to do. And they accepted that. And they still believe that. And they just said, they asked for boldness to teach. And they were all filled with the Spirit. I think they all started witnessing again. And multitudes believed as they went out witnessing. And the apostles were given special power to make the word true that this is from God with signs and miracles. And then also some interesting after results. They cared for each other. They shared if there was a need. And they brought it to the apostles and laid it at the apostles' feet. The work of God went on when they came and prayed. These are foundational things we need to remember as an assembly and put in practice for God to move on. And then it's interesting, my time's up, but in chapter 5, we learn some more foundational truths. How to respond. Satan, instead of attacking from the outside in, attacks within the church to try and destroy it. And
it tells us how the church dealt with that and how the work of God continued on. Oh, we have a year ahead of us, the year 2025. We know nothing about it. But, oh, brothers and sisters, this is God's will. We have the words, the Savior, the living Savior, the intercessing Savior, the one who shed his blood, who can change the world. He can change our country, our neighborhood, families around us. May you ask for courage. You can all be a witness. Jesus has asked you to be that. It is foundational to our church continuing. And Jesus is foundational to our witnessing. We may not forget that. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus. We just can't bring you enough into our lives and those lives around us. It is all through you, through your shed blood and broken body, through your love, your grace, your death, your burial, your resurrection, your ascension, your promise to come back. Lord, these are all before us, and may we find strength there as we go on in our Christian lives. Amen.